My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here, and I just again want to welcome you. I'm just so glad that you're here. All right, well, we are continuing our series that we have on the edge. The series is called On the Edge, and today our topic, I'm not going to even tell you yet. See if you can figure it out. So I have a relationship with a gentleman. I'll call him Bob. I just came up with that. That's not his name. But Bob, I met probably 15 years ago, and he has been in and out of prison most of that time. He's not in prison right now, which I am thankful for. But Bob and I, our relationship has been great at times, but other times it has not been so great. Because Bob has a problem, and I have a little bit of a problem. One of Bob's problems is that he has no problem asking me for things all the time and expecting that whenever he asks, I should be giving to whatever he asks, whether it's a ride or money or almost anything. And I want to help Bob. I've wanted to help him. And so there have been many times that I have given him $20 or I have helped him do this, but then it falls into a trap of a cycle, a bad cycle. And then I start to struggle with not wanting to give to him anymore and with resenting him and with having these feelings of, I wish he wouldn't call me, because every time he calls me, I know that he's going to be asking me for something. Why can't we just have a normal conversation every once in a while? And I probably gave in to that too much. I probably gave in and just gave and gave, because, well, if I give a little bit more, maybe I'll get him off my back and that wasn't a good motivation for me. And that's kind of how our relationship has been at times, to the point that a few times when he went back to prison, I actually was relieved. I was like, oh, praise God, he's in prison. He can't ask me for so many things. Or if he's going to ask, he has to at least write it in a letter. And sometimes he would call me like 6-7 times in a row. Like if I couldn't answer, he would just call me and then call me and then call me and call me. And I had to tell him, Bob, you can't call me so many times. If I don't answer, just leave a message or just text me or something. It means that I'm busy. And it has been a challenge for me to work it out. And I'm probably a challenge for him. And there's been times where I've said no, where he's gotten upset at me. And there's been times that I've said no, where I've felt guilty about it. And then there's been other times where I've said no, and I've been like, yes, I said no, I stood my ground. It's kind of a crazy relationship. But what I am talking about a little bit is the idea of codependency. Now, I don't believe that I'm a codependent person, and probably many of you are not codependent either. But this idea of codependency is when a person who's so a very needy person or an addicted person becomes so needy that another caregiver in their life becomes codependent on them, and they just fall into that strain. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And it's something that I believe, even if, like myself, I don't believe I'm a codependent person. However, I have codependent tendencies. And I believe that probably all of us have some level of codependent tendencies that we need to work on. And they're tendencies that end up hurting the people that we're trying to help rather than helping those people. And so that is what we are going to look at today. I want to read you a little story about another guy named Mark. Mark is a sweet and caring guy and is well-liked by all his friends. He is also considered thoughtful and a good listener. Mark takes care of everyone and does everything people ask him to do. Yesterday, he drove his friend to the airport, helped his uncle landscape his yard, and then came home to help his girlfriend with her homework. Mark has a hard time saying no to anyone. Taking a closer look into Mark's life, you will see that he is unhappy, lonely, and struggles with feelings of worthlessness. Deep down, Mark helps people in order to get them to like him. He feels important when he is needed, and without being needed, he feels useless. And so this idea of codependency is when we need to be needed. A mother sat across from me weeping profusely. This is another story, not really me. One evening, I had just presented a brief psychoeducation session about codependency. She admitted to me that she had left her previous therapist to seek me out because she thought that a new counselor would support her in her desire to protect her son from the harm of his substance use. When she didn't get the support she was hoping for, she said, "Aren't you asking me to judge him? Doesn't the Bible say not to judge?" she asked me. "I know my boy loves Jesus," she asserted. "I just need him. I just need to help him cut down on his drinking so that he can see that he loves Jesus. Isn't that how I show him how much I love him?" There are a lot of people that are in, they have people in their lives that are going through such severe struggles, whether it's alcoholism, drug addiction, depression, anxiety, some of the different things that we have talked about, maybe suicidal tendencies. And their life is so out of control that they have no boundaries. And so they cling on to a person in their life. They cling on to a mother or a spouse or a sibling or a friend. And it's like they're trying to drag that person down with them. And that person that's trying to help, I think it starts out from a good place. You want to help that person, but then sometimes it can go down that road so that you just become completely codependent, and it's almost like you need them to need you after a while, and you have no boundaries yourself, and that's what we're talking about today. So let's put up slide number one, codependency, and it's so great we have this TV in the back now, so you can read the slides up there. Codependency is an unhealthy attachment to another person in order to make yourself feel whole. In order to make yourself feel good about yourself, you detach yourself to another person in an unhealthy way. Sometimes this is called an addiction to relationships. It's a relationship addiction or a love addiction, kind of, I need to be loved, I need to be needed. I need to be needed, and it can become really, really unhealthy. The codependent person becomes like their benefactor. They become the person that person always goes to whenever they have a need. Like Bob would come to me every time he needed $20 or something. When I would say no, he would get upset with me, and we would try to make me feel bad, and he would try to, you know, act like I wasn't meeting his needs and I didn't have compassion on him. And sometimes the best thing for me to do was just to say no. Slide number two, as this reliance increases, the codependent person develops a sense of reward and satisfaction from being needed. You get your reward and you get your satisfaction out of being needed. You know, sometimes people in ministry they have this little tendency. I'm not saying they're totally codependent, but sometimes people go into ministry or into counseling or into these kinds of fields because, like, they have this empty spot inside of them. They have this need to be needed. They want to help other people all the time, and it can be an unhealthy thing for people in ministry. I'm not saying that the desire to help somebody is bad. Don't hear me say that. But if you're just in need to be needed, then it can turn into a difficult thing. So let's look at some characteristics of a codependent person. I have five things I wrote down that are characteristics. First, a tendency to confuse love and pity. A tendency to confuse love and pity. We start to pity people, feel sorry for them, and we think that that is love. And so we just go and try to help them out of this sense of pity, feeling sorry for them, when true love doesn't necessarily feel sorry for somebody. It might have compassion on someone, but it's not just a pity for them. Second, a tendency to do more than their share all of the time. Somebody, you're that just, they always go above and beyond. It's almost like an addiction. They have to like do more than they really should. They don't have boundaries. They're not able to set boundaries. Third, a tendency to become hurt when people don't recognize their efforts. So when they go beyond and then people don't notice them and they don't say like good job or notice what they did, they can become hurt. Now, I find that tendency in myself sometimes. Like I said, I don't think I'm a codependent person, but at the same time, all of us probably, when people don't recognize our contribution, we might feel a little bit hurt, and so you might have some of those tendencies as well. Fourth, the codependent will do anything to hold on to a relationship. Fear, they have a severe fear of being abandoned or being alone. This happens like with abusers and abusees. You know, a person will sometimes hang on to that person that's abusing them. They won't leave because they're so afraid of being abandoned or just being alone. You know, maybe somebody who's struggling with an addiction that's not necessarily abusive physically to them, but they just can't leave that person because they're so afraid to be alone. They have an extreme need for approval and recognition. So this need for approval and recognition drives them to help other people. So these are the kind of tendencies that we get vulnerable to. If you go to the next slide, it says, many Christians have equated being a self with selfishness. And this is something I want to spend a second on because I think it took me a second to get my head around it completely. And I'm not sure still my head is completely around it. But in the Christian church, we talk about denying yourself, right? And, you know, Jesus said, take up your cross and deny yourself daily and come follow me. And so as Christians, we can really have trouble, like, How do we be a self without becoming selfish? Because the Bible also talks about taking care of ourselves. It talks about how much God loves us. It talks about how important we are to God. And so how do we balance this? And a person that's struggling with codependency can really get thrown off with their self because they can hear from the church, well, you just have to give more. You know, that's the way I felt with Bob. It's like, if I don't, you know, send that $20, it's like I have $20. You know, why not send it? He needs it. I have it. I should just give it, right? I should just keep giving. If I have, I should be just giving. But what we don't realize is that that's not helping the person that I really want to help. It's not helping them become a mature person. And so it's like we use this teaching in the Bible about denying ourselves to end up hurting somebody else, and it just feeds this need that we have. And so that's what I mean when I say that we need to separate being a self with being selfish. When God says to deny yourself, he means to deny selfishness. He doesn't mean to deny that you are a person or that you are a self. You are a self that God loves so much. That, see, God loves selves. When I say self, I mean us. God loves you so much. He loves who you are so much that he allows you to make choices in your life. See, God is not going to be a codependent God. He allows us to make choices in our lives. He gives us consequences for our choices. He gives us a lot of freedom. Right from the beginning of time, God has given the human race a lot of freedom. And as a result of that, we have gone astray. And we've borne out the consequences of our sins, our death, our, you know, countries have gone to war. We've had famines. We've had sicknesses and illnesses because of our sin that we have brought on ourselves. And God, if he was a codependent God, he would be like rescuing us all the time. He would like be fixing this problem over here and fixing this problem over here. And God does fix problems, doesn't he? He does when we cry out to him. But he allows us to make choices and come back to him willingly. And so God is not a codependent God. He actually values our self. He values the self so much that he allows you to walk away from him. And you remember the story of the prodigal son. The father didn't run after the son, and he didn't go to that faraway country and plead with him, please come back, please come back to the house. You know, he allowed the son to make his choices because he realized the son was in a state of rebellion at that point. And his son needed to wake up. But when he came back, he welcomed him with arms wide open because God, he's not codependent, but he always takes us back because he loves us so much. That's true love. So our preaching idea today is this next slide. And that is, a codependent giver is not a cheerful giver. A codependent giver is not a cheerful giver. And you know, in the Bible, we're going to look at this verse, it says that God loves a cheerful giver. And so this is one of the ways we can work on, because I have to admit, when Bob wanted stuff for me, I had ceased to become a cheerful giver. I didn't want to give to him. I didn't even want to answer his phone calls after a while. I was so bothered. It's like, just don't call me. You know, I was not loving him. I was not helping him at that point. It was not good for me, and it was not good for him. And so when we give in that way, how do we are not being a cheerful giver. So God wants us to give freely. He wants things. You know, in the Old Testament, he said, give 10%. But in the New Testament, he actually hasn't said, give 10%. He actually, I mean, this is just talking about money. He actually just says, give as you are able. Give out of the abundance that you have. Give as I have given to you. Give sacrificially. Give generously. Those are the words that God uses in the New Testament about giving. And if that's the way he talks about our financial giving, that's probably the way he wants us to think about our other types of giving as well, you know, our time, our resources, or our energies toward people. So I want to look at some verses around this idea. And, man, time just flies when you're having fun. All right, so slide number 6. Here's some principles from Scripture. We need to help people carry their own load. And this comes out of Galatians 6. And it actually looks like a little bit of anomaly in here, or a contradiction. But Galatians 6, verses 2 and verse 5. Verse 2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Now that sounds very codependent, doesn't it? He says, carry each other's burdens. Well, if I'm supposed to carry each other's burdens, then I guess I just have to pony up and carry their burdens. And even if, you know, so somebody who's very healthy, who's going backpacking, you know, and I'm going backpacking with them, I better carry their backpack and my backpack and carry all the tents and everything. And they just have a good old time. And I'm like dying over here. Do you think that's what that verse means? Maybe not. Maybe not. Because verse 5 says, each one should carry their own load. And it's interesting to me that these two verses are put right next to each other. You've got carry each other's burdens, but then each one should carry their own load. And so how do we, I mean, Paul doesn't give us a whole, you know, paragraph on how to figure that out. So we kind of have to use wisdom from God, right? And we use other scriptures. And so what I think he's talking about is there are times when people's burdens are just too heavy for them. They're struggling in a serious financial way. They're trying their best, but they are just burdened down. And we come alongside them, and we have extra, and God has blessed us. And so we help them. We pray for them. We work with them. But then there's other times where the person needs to carry their own load, because it is important to, for each of us to carry our own load, just like with our own kids. We make them clean their room, right? We make them clean the bathroom. The kids need to learn how to clean the toilet. I mean, when I was a kid, my mom would, oh my goodness, she called us Saturday slaves, because we had our little chores every Saturday, and we had to do the things. Actually, we might have called ourselves Saturday slaves, but anyway, my mom affirmed that, because I think that's what she thought we were. Anyway, but it taught us good things. She taught us, and I've actually heard a parenting strategy say that you should never do anything for your child that they can do themselves. Now, to me, that seems a little extreme, but it's probably a good principle that we need to train our kids how to do for themselves and not just do for them. If you are doing all your kids' homework, you are codependent. Don't do that. I love that. One of our youth just put his hands over somebody's ears, his parents' ears. Anyway. Yes, don't do your kids' homework for them. Now, if they are struggling really badly and you know how to help them a little bit, then carry each other's burdens, but make sure they carry their own homework load. Okay, slide 8. Don't always rescue people. Don't always rescue people. Sometimes people need to learn from the pain due to their irresponsibility. There's a verse in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 19:19. It says, a hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Let angry people endure the backlash of their own anger. If you try to make it better, you'll only make it worse. You see, wisdom, God gives us wisdom to know that at times we have to let people get the consequences of their actions, the natural consequences, and not to bail them out. And it's a balance. It's a wisdom to know when to bail someone out and when to let them reap the consequences. Now, if your, you know, 5-year-old is walking too close to the edge of the Grand Canyon, it's probably not a time to let them reap the consequences of, you know, it's like, hey, come back from that edge. Come back from that edge. No, grab the kid. I mean, you know, that's not codependency. That's just being a good parent. But, you know, if your 30-year-old wants to jump off the Grand Canyon, maybe just let him. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, I hopefully won't do that, because you've taught them not to go near the edge of it. But anyway, there's a point where you have to use wisdom there. And Proverbs 19:19 shares that with us. All right, the third rule here is set limits with needy people. This can be so hard for people that have codependent tendencies to set limits on what you will be able to give. But Jesus gives us some examples from his own life. In Luke 5, now remember, Jesus could have fixed everything. He could have healed every person, raised every dead person. He could have healed poverty, all the different things that, you know, fixed poverty. He could have done it all when he was here. For some reason, he didn't choose. Is it because he's stingy? Is it because Jesus was selfish? No, I don't think so. I think because he understood these principles that we're talking about today. So in Luke 5, 15 and 16, it says, yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So even though crowds of people were coming around him, he knew that to help himself, to have good self-care and boundaries, he needed to withdraw from time to time. Actually, it says often. He would often withdraw to lonely places just so he could pray and take time with the Lord. Think of how many more people Jesus could have helped if he wouldn't have prayed so much. He could have helped more people. That's silly, I know. Okay, Mark 1, 35 to 38 says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him." They struggled with a little codependency here. "And when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you, Jesus.' He replied, 'Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That is why I have come.'" But Jesus, these people really like us. They're like our fans. We should go and just bask in the glory and like really build up that stuff. And because the disciples were kind of getting into this like, hey, these people like us. We're kind of famous. We're becoming really awesome here because we're hanging out with you, Jesus. And Jesus is like, nope, we're good here. We did enough in this town. We're going to go over to this town over here. And Jesus was not willing to just let himself do. He wasn't allowing the crowd, the expectations of needy people, to guide his directions. He set limits with needy people. Now, at the same time, some of us have way too many limits, okay? Some of us wouldn't pick up they wouldn't pick up a crying baby if, you know, it was one in the street. I mean, come on, people. I don't want to give the idea that we shouldn't help people, because as the church, we oftentimes need to be doing way more. We're like way too fat with what we have eaten, and we have way too much teaching and not enough action. But there has to be a balance here. And sometimes we can be codependent with one person, and we don't help another person. You know, it's like this person is like gotten in our head and they can get anything they want for us, but this other person, we're not helping them for anything. So it's good to be a little balanced as well. All right, this is my final verse. Give only, in the final principle here, give only what you truly want to give. Now, this is a dangerous thing for a pastor to say to a church. Give only what you truly want to give. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, "Each man should give what he has," and he is talking about money in this verse, "each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Codependent givers are not cheerful givers, but God loves cheerful givers. Like I said, this is a dangerous thing for a pastor to say. We're going to take offering in a couple minutes. And you guys are going to be like, David said, don't have to give anything if I don't want to. And guess what? I don't want to. So, whew. You know, but seriously, I want you guys to give only what you want to give. Don't give because you think you should. It's not healthy. It's not good for you. Don't give to the church because you feel like you're going to get some kind of blessing if you give that, or, you know, you're frustrated, but, you know, the guy next to you gave something, so you probably should give something too. Those are not good reasons to give. We should be giving back to the Lord because our whole hearts and lives have been transformed by the love of Jesus Christ. And if you have not been transformed, if you are just sitting in these pews day after day and Sunday after Sunday, and you really don't want to be here, and you're really struggling with this whole Christian thing, I mean, I could say just walk away from it. I don't want to say that, though. I want to say get on your knees and beg God to renew your heart. Get on your knees and cry out to God and say, "What is wrong with me, God? Why is my heart so hard?" You know, rend your hearts, he says, like, tear that hard heart of yours and beg God to turn you around and to turn around our community, because we can't force anyone else, and even in some ways, we can't force ourselves to love. We have to beg God to help us to change our hearts. And when he changes our hearts, then we will be the right kind of giver. I'm sure I'm way over time, and so I'm going to stop there. But I love you guys. I'm so thankful for this church. We are God is so good to us. I hope that we are here. I hope that we're in this community, not out of some sense of obligation, not because we're like, oh, this community needs our help and we're so awesome. And no, I mean, that's not, I mean, I love this community. It's a great community. There's great people around here. And you know what? I need to serve because God has given me so much. I mean, oh my goodness, we all need to serve. Lord, help us to have the right motivations. Help us not to be codependent givers. Lord, let us be cheerful givers that you love. In the name of Jesus,